Now, this text is from a point when they're consecrating Aaron and the Levitites. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 20 is where we're going to look at. Thou shalt kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons and upon the thumb of their right hand and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. First of all, they put the blood on his right ear, and then on his right thumb, and then on the big toe of his right foot, they put the blood. And we may look at that and wonder, why? Why? Well, God, number one, God's told them to do this, so they're going to be obedient. They're going to do what God has told them to do. But think of this. It shows us how from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, we're sin. We sin. We must be totally cleansed. We must be totally purified. It's a picture of how the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin. As one older grace preacher put it, we are branded and marked as the Lord's sheep. Branded and marked as the Lord's sheep. Now, the garments that the high priest would wear during this were brand new. Brand new garments. And they, too, they were to be sprinkled with blood and oil. Again, some would wonder why. Why do this after the high priest had put on these beautiful garments? And now they're sprinkled with blood. Well, think on what the Holy Spirit is teaching us here again. That each time the high priest put on these garments, that he would be reminded of his unworthiness. He would be reminded of his unworthiness to approach God in his own righteousness. He would be reminded of the abundant grace supplied in the substitute. What is it for us when we think about the blood of Christ and what Christ's blood has done for us? We think of his abundant mercy towards us, undeserving sinners, but yet he has mercy upon us. What a picture we have here before us of we who need cleansing from head to toe. What a picture of the grace of God in Christ. And the Old Testament is full of these pictures. Absolutely full of them. The hands, think of this. Blood would be put on the hand. It's an instrument of action. The feet and the toes of walking. And the head, the ear of thoughts and imaginations of our minds. We need to be cleansed from all our sin. There's an imperfection in all our actions, isn't there? Everything we do as the saints of God, our walk and our conversation is not without sin. We're here and we have sin in our lives. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the spotless, perfect Lamb of God. A lot of folks look and focus upon the death of Christ, which is true. He died for our sins. But what about his life? He lived the perfect life. He lived a substitutionary life as well as died a substitutionary death. Why? Because he had to weave the perfect coat of righteousness for us. The perfect righteousness which we would be clothed in. To stand before God perfect.
perfect. So thus we see the need for us to be sprinkled with the blood of Christ and have our garments washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ needed no such preparation as Aaron had, did he? Because he's perfect. He is the high priest of us. He's perfect, without sin. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7. He was holy, harmless, separate from sinners. God incarnate in the flesh, fully man, yet fully God. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26 says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, no sin, perfect, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins." Remember, every high priest in the Old Testament had to offer sacrifices for his own sins. But Christ didn't have to do that at all. He's sinless. He's perfect. And then for the peoples, for this he did once when he offered up himself. Oh, it's glorious. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. He's king. He's the great high priest. Remember, he holds three offices, right? Prophet, priest, and king. He's the believer's priest. He's our high priest. But he didn't need to have what Aaron had done to him because he was perfect. And he was spotless. So let's see how God's sheep are marked. First, the Lord marks the ear. He marks the ear. And the sheep hear his voice. They hear his voice. Never heard it before. Brother Matt, there was a time when you never heard the shepherd's voice. Not at all. But one day he called you. Called you by name. Same with you, Brother Chet. For years we wandered without hearing the shepherd's voice at all. And then he opened our ears. He opened our ears. God's sheep are given ears to hear the shepherd's call. Ears to hear the shepherd's call. And like I said, there was a time when, turn with me if you would to John 10, 27. There was a time when we did not hear the shepherd's voice. And think of this too with God's sheep. They're not following another. A stranger will come up and call them and they won't follow. They won't follow the stranger's voice. They're marked. They follow the shepherd's voice. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. Look at this. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Beloved, he knows his sheep personally. "I know them. And look, it doesn't say, and they might follow me." No. They follow me. They hear the shepherd's voice, and they follow him. And then look at the marvelous verse in 28. "And I," God, right? This is Christ's own words. "And I give unto them." I give it unto them. Eternal life. "And they shall never perish." Why? Why shall they never perish? Because the one who gives it is God. The one who keeps them is the great shepherd. Folks in religion think you can get salvation and lose it, right? God's sheep are held by the great shepherd. He says, "That's my sheep." And this is our prayer, that as the messages go forth, oh, that God would draw his sheep to himself. Oh, that he'd move in your hearts if you don't know him. Oh. And God's sheep are given discernment too. They won't follow anyone. And how do God's sheep hear? How do God's sheep hear the voice of the shepherd? Reading his word? The preaching of the gospel? You know when a man's lying to you. If you're his sheep, you know. Does he glorify God in his message? Does he lift up Christ? Is he the main theme of the message? Well, God's sheep yearn to hear that. Whenever I listen to messages, I yearn to hear about my Savior. Now, I often hear how much of a sinner I am, and that's just to constantly remind me that I need Christ desperately. But oh, when the preacher hits about Christ, when he hits about the shepherd, right, the sheep just want to hear that. That's what we want to hear. That's why we come, because we want to hear about the shepherd. And they will not settle just for any kind of preaching. I remember a grace preacher telling me, once you hear sovereign grace preached, it ruins you for everything else. And it's true. Because you don't want to hear any other message but Christ. That's the only message we want to hear. We want to hear the shepherd's voice through the preaching of the word. We want to hear the shepherd's voice as we read the scriptures. And God's sheep will listen to the words when a man is preaching. He wants to feed on the clover of the word. You know, Psalm 23 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, right? That's the green pastures of his word. Comfort we get when we hear the word of God preached. Comfort we receive. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The word is our guide. Oh, the comforting words of God's grace to his sheep when the gospel's preached. Doesn't that bring you great comfort? It builds us up, doesn't it? And it exalts Christ. It puts us in our place where we are to be. We are to make our headquarters in the dust. And it exalts and magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, in God's sheep, they can discern the truth when it's being preached. God's sheep know when a man's preaching truth. They know. And God's sheep will settle for nothing else. So our ears must be consecrated, right, with blood. To give us hearing ears. And then he marks them on the hand. God's sheep are generous. God's sheep are forgiven. Forgiven. And why are we forgiving? Why, when we hear something that may have been said about us or done, why are we so forgiving? Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. I believe this is a verse that puts it all in perspective for us. Why God's sheep are so forgiving. Why don't we lash out? Now, we can in our flesh, and we do sometimes, right? We're human, we do, but we shouldn't lash out at folks, but sometimes we do. But why are we usually quick to forgive? Well, I think the answer is in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 31. Look at this. Let all bitterness, and we can get bitter, can't we? And wrath and anger. And we can get angry and clamor and evil speaking. You know, this is natural for us to do. Now, we have three enemies, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And I think the worst one sometimes is my flesh. Look at this. In evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why should we forgive one another? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh, we need to be forgiving. We need to let things go. Why? When something comes up, just think of how much God has forgiven you. And it'll be quick and easy. Not always easy, but it'll be easier to forgive people when they rail or when they say things. Because, oh my, I know what I was. And I know how I was. And I'm the last person I would have thought that would be a gospel preacher or would be even talking about Christ. But here I am, by the grace of God, and only by His grace. And when I think how much God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me, oh, it makes me want to forgive others and just let things go. Remember this too, if folks come on and say things. And I think it was Jim who I heard tell me this. It takes two to continue something. The person who comes at you and yourself to continue it. Just let things go. God's sheep are kind. And we reach out to others, right? We desire others to come to Christ. Let's focus on Christ. Let's focus on what He's done for us. And we'll be quick to forgive folks. And think of all the actions and things that we have done in our mind and with our hands and is our feet taking us places. But Scripture says that God has forgiven us for all those sins. For Christ's sake. And I remember in the world, that was a curse. We used to use that as a blasphemy. But here it says that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I've forgiven me. Forgiven. Sinners. This is why we say, flee to Christ. See, God will forgive you for your sins in Christ, but nowhere else. Not in your doing, but only in Christ, in Him alone. So God's sheep are kind, and they reach out to it. To one another. Be ye kind one to another. We need to cultivate that. Right? And that's something that I found when I come here. What I was told about you guys is true. You love one another. You have unity. And that's what we want. It's wonderful. I've spoken to many grace preachers, and that's something that they've said about all of you here. So God's sheep are marked and branded on their ear and the things they hear and in the things they do and how they act with other people. And then the Lord marks their feet. He marks their feet. Why does He mark our feet? Well, God's sheep, they walk in His Word. Before you were saved, did you desire to read the Bible? Not at all. I didn't. Now I love it. Right? And I'm, you know, there's no pressure in how much. Don't ever put so much pressure in, I've got to read 10 chapters a day. I remember being in 10 chapters a day. If you read 5 sentences and get a blessing from that, praise be to God. Okay? Walk in His Word. Walk in His ways. This is what we do as believers. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Our feet must be consecrated because we follow Christ. Otherwise, where would we go? All over the place. Whatever we wanted to do. Oh, but the Lord, He consecrates us. And the Scripture says, they follow me. They hear His voice through the preaching of the Word or through the reading of His Word, and they follow Him. The very ones who never wanted to follow Him are made to follow Him. And it's not, like I said before, it's not a slavish way, right? We're not robots. We're made willing. And we love the Savior. And these are marks of God's sheep. These are very marks of God's sheep. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Turn if you would to John chapter 10, verses 14 to 16. Now the word know there is in the Greek, it's an intimate knowledge. Christ knows his sheep and he knows you by name. Remember Zacchaeus? He'd never met Zacchaeus as far as we know, right? Zacchaeus is up a tree. Zacchaeus, come on down. Like Brother Jean-Claude said, well, the very name of his sheep are engraved in the palms of his hands. He knows every one of them. Every single one of them. A number that no man can number. But he knows everyone by name. Intimately. Look at this in John 10, 14 to 16. I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, I know them. And am known of mine. Well, there was a time when we didn't know him, but now we know him. Those of us who've had him, he's revealed himself to us, right? We know him now. And known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, same Greek word, even so I know, same Greek word, the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have. Oh, he has more sheep. This is why we preach and proclaim the gospel. Which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. There's the Gentiles. And they shall hear my voice. And don't you love those small words? They shall. It's not a maybe. There's no doubt. They shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Do you know that if you put three different shepherds put their sheep in a pen at night, that the next day the first shepherd can come out and call his sheep and they'll only follow him and the other ones will stay in the pen. And then the second shepherd comes out, calls his sheep and they all come out and not one of the other sheep will follow his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And they know me. He knows us. And I know them and they follow me. He knows his sheep. It's an intimate knowledge, beloved. How well does he know his sheep? Well, the very hairs of their head are numbered. The very hairs of their head are numbered. He knows them intimately. When we talk about God's sheep, we're not talking about religious folks, are we? We're not talking about people who make a profession, put their name on the church roll, and say, well, see you later. I'm gone. I'm good now. I punched my card. There's many people who feel that way. But they're lost. They'd be given a false sense of security because God's sheep, they will desire the preaching of the word. Their desire to feast on the clover of his word. And today we're talking about the sheep of the shepherd, right? Think of this. The shepherd's sheep are consecrated. The shepherd's sheep are dedicated. They're dedicated to the Lord's work and to him. They follow no one else. The shepherd's sheep are ordained. They're chosen of God. He chose every one of them. They're anointed. The shepherd's sheep are called. My sheep hear my voice. Every sheep is individually called. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. He came forth. He couldn't resist. He came forth. The shepherd's sheep are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. They're purchased. They're redeemed. The shepherd's sheep will be glorified. We trudge around in this world right now, don't we? But one day, we'll be without sin. It'll be marvelous. It'll be marvelous. And they are the shepherd's sheep. They're his. And the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And what does he give them? Remember we saw? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. That's eternal security. That's eternal security. They don't earn the eternal life, do they? They don't merit the eternal life. They don't deserve the eternal life. But it's given to them. What do we say to that? Praise his mighty name. He gets all the glory, doesn't he? He gets all the honor. And oh, that one of his lost sheep today would hear his voice, that he would call their name, if it's his will. This is our hope, isn't it? Whether it be here, or on the internet, or out. Where? Oh, that he would draw his people, call his sheep's names. And this is why, grace preachers, this is why we say, we're on the trail of God's sheep. We're on the trail of God's sheep.